Right, if you'll turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 18. Continuing with our study on exalting Jesus to his rightful place. Last week we looked and talked about the ministry of the house of God. And this week we're going to have a look at we being the expression of Christ. For the world to see Jesus, they need to see him through you and me. Yeah. And so we have to manifest Christ through our own lives. It's not just about coming to church, but it's about the fact that Christ lives in us, lives through us, and that we live for Christ, and that the victory that Christ has won on the cross and through his resurrection life now begins to show to the world around us that there is a difference in our lives because of Christ. So if we have a look at Matthew chapter 18 and verse 14. For thus it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that any one of these little ones should perish. That's a statement from Jesus that says that as far as God the Father is concerned, he does not want anybody to perish. That's his plan, that's his desire. But he gave man a free will. A man's free will was given to him whether he accepted God or rejected God, to follow God or to go his own way. And we see the results of man's sin, how it destroys man and the mankind and the things that we have through greed, jealousy, malice, envy. And so we're in those situations now because of it. But Jesus came and said, God is love, and that his love has come to redeem us and to bring us back to himself. And so it's important that as we realise that our expression is to be the love of Jesus Christ, the love of God to the world today. And that's the main, one of our main functions. And in that love, out of that love will flow the life of God. Out of that love will flow healing and wholeness. Out of that love will flow compassion. Out of that love will flow a redemptive work. And out of that love, you will show a resurrection life of Christ. You will show the glory of God. And sometimes it's tough to love. Sometimes it seems to be easier to hate than it does to love. But Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. And you know, when they nailed him to a cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. And so in that forgiveness, Jesus is giving that total forgiveness to all these people that are punishing him for doing nothing wrong, for being sinless and spotless without a mark, never done anybody any harm. And there he is, the Son of God dying for the sons of men. If we were to read this chapter of Matthew 18, it's about forgiveness. And if you read on through and you get to verse 21, it says there in verse 21, then Jesus came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Sorry, Peter. What did I say? Jesus, sorry. Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? And Jesus answers and says to him, and Peter says, well, is it up to seven times? He thinks, well, you know, if somebody does something wrong, if you forgive them seven times, that's about the maximum, isn't it, that you can forgive them? Come on, you know, any more, and you just have to slap them, don't you? Yeah. Eight. When you get to the eighth one, you're out, sort of thing. But no, Jesus says to him, no. Jesus said to him in verse 22, no, I do not to say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Well, that's a lot. I think it worked out. I once worked this one out, and I think it was one every minute. So if somebody kept coming up to you every minute and said, I'm sorry what I said to you, I said about you the other day, will you forgive me? And you say, but this is what Jesus says we're to do. You see, because every time you and I make a mistake, Every time you and I make a mistake before God, God forgives us. It says if we confess our faults, He is faithful and just to forgive us from all unrighteousness. Now He said if my brother comes and sins against me, so does something wrong, I've got to forgive him. I might not like what they've done. And I might not appreciate what they've done. But it's not about my feelings. It's not about me, but it's about God forgiving them through me. Yeah. See, the word says that if you forgive somebody their sins, then God is prepared to forgive it also. Yeah. Yeah. Those sins that you don't remit, those sins that you don't keep against you, God forgives. And it's so important, you see, that when you and I, if you and I to be a manifestation of Christ, we have to be like Him. We have to forgive like He forgives. Because in the end, you and I have to realize that God is the great judge. He's the final judge. He's judge and jury on all things. And when if we've been hurt, been offended, if we let that control us, that affect our lives, it can bring us to a root of bitterness. It can begin to bring us to a root of hatred and malice, which will prevent us from moving further on in God. It builds a wall. And so you and I have to break down that wall. And sometimes it's a tough challenge. I know I've faced many a wall. I faced one a few weeks ago. I was invited back to a place for a 25th celebration. I don't know what I was invited back for, whether I was invited back to some degree appear to be a measure of belittling, because the vision that I had 25 years ago for this place, I didn't even get a mention, basically. I sat there and listen to everybody else being praised and thanked and etc. And I think my name was mentioned right at the beginning once that I was involved in it. And it's like, that's not the way I remember it. And I had people looking at me and going, shaking their heads and saying, no way, it wasn't like that. And people came up to me afterwards and said, you know, it weren't like that. I said, it don't matter. I forgave them. I've moved on. And my reward's already been prepared for me. And I've also had rewards on top. You know, because I spent 20 years with some of you folks. And I've been blessed. And I wouldn't have had 20 years with some of you folk if I'd have still been where I was 25 years ago. Moving on. And you see, to move forward, you have to let go of the past. You know, a boat in a harbour is tied up to the quayside. A boat is not meant to be in the harbour. Is it? So what do? You cut the rope, or untie the rope, and you set off out to sea. Because the boat is meant to be out on the sea. And that's what God wants us to do. God wants us to move out and begin to be His expression. You see, if you stay within the harbour, if you allow somebody to confine you, then you're in a situation where you've been held back from receiving the best from God. And I don't mean to say we don't get things from God, but God wants more from us because God wants to put more into us. And you know, the more that God puts into us and the more that we give to God, there's a greater expectancy that comes out of our lives. There's a greater move, there's a greater power of God flowing through us. And if I'd have stayed where I was 25 years ago, I'd have been in prison. And I don't mean in prison in jail, as in, you know, the local clink. I mean, I would have been physically, in a spiritual sense and a mental sense, in prison. So I made a decision to move out. Yeah, well, God told me, yeah, that's right, that if I allowed myself to stay there, I would die spiritually. And I saw part of it happening. I felt part of it happening. And I felt like I was being crushed and killed. And I thought, I've got to get out. Got to get out. And I've got to let him go. My past does not hold me. You see, I've made mistakes in my past. I don't know about anybody else, but I have. Shows your wife can tell the truth, doesn't it? And I've made mistakes. But I've moved on from those. I've asked God to forgive me. He's forgiven me. So I've moved on. And as I move on, so I receive God's fullness and God's blessing. And I'm not prepared to hang on to something that's like a millstone. It will cause me to be dragged down and drown me. And so I move on from that, and I move on into the things of God. Because you see, I want all that God has got for me. And I don't want anything else holding me back. I want the fullness of God in my life. And I say, so many of us can look at our lives and say, well, I've made mistakes. You might have even made one this week. But guess what? God's forgiven you. Because he wants you to be the expression. You see, unforgiveness stops you blossoming and being that expression. And so you move out into the fullness of God. And God says that to us as we forgive, so it is given to us, and we're blessed by that. And so there's an ongoing process in our lives that God is moving through us. And sometimes there are tests. I don't know about you, but you get tested now and again. Somebody will come into your life and boy, do they know how to press your button. And it's a challenge. What are you going to do? How are you going to respond? And sometimes it's tough to pray for them. You know, it is. Sometimes it can be tough to pray for them. But even if you only say, Lord, I just release them and I forgive them and let, Lord, I release. And when you release somebody, you're actually releasing them into the hands of Almighty God. And let me tell you something. His punishment, his rejection, his hatred, his resentment is far greater than you and ever I will ever summons up. Because at the end, he's the final judge. And on that final day, if they carry on in the way that they've gone, then he will pay a penalty to them. They will suffer the consequences thereof. And so we can walk, you see, and so for us, we're to walk in this rejoice, in this forgiveness, rejoice in the presence of what God has got for us. And think, I'm not letting the enemy hold me back. I'm going to move on. I'm not letting anything hold me back. And I could go through hundreds of things. And I just think, it ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. I could write a book on it. I could write a book on the dirty tricks done to me. I could write a book on the things that people have done. And, the way people have taken me for a ride at times. But it makes boring reading after a while. I'd write a book on, rather write a book on the things of the manifestations of the glory of God. I'd rather write a book on the miracles and the healings that God is doing. I'd rather write a book on the souls that are getting saved and the people who are getting filled with the Spirit. That's what I'd rather write a book on. Because that is a reading of excitement. Because that is a reading that is changing lives for the good. That is a reading book that is changing lives and giving people a future. And that's the expression of Christ, that you and I are being a written book, that we are an expression of the future. That's what Christ is. We are an expression of the future in Christ Jesus. We're not a book that's a history book. We're a book of future things that are going to happen. Yeah. When people look at us and see us, they begin to read and say, oh, this is what you're like. And they start to read our lives the way we are. And they see Jesus in us. And when they see Jesus in us, then they'll also see signs, wonders and miracles when they see Jesus in us. Because Jesus was a person that went around. He was the Son of God who went around healing the sick, raising the dead. He went around with signs, wonders and miracles. And Paul said he wanted you and I to be imitators of Christ. As he, Paul, was an imitator of Christ. And so the same goes on today. That Lynn, you need to be an imitator of Christ. I need to be an imitator of Christ. Andrew, you need to be an imitator of Christ. That's what the Bible tells us. That's what it's all about. We are to be the expression of Christ. That's where God wants us to move on to. That's what God wants for us. And as we do that, we're going to see the signs, the wonders, the miracles, and the power of God working in people's lives around us. You know, we've got opportunities to go to Africa. All you've got to do is get a passport. And get an airfare. Start getting together an airfare. You know, there's people are desperate out there. They haven't got a hospital around the corner. Mind you, the way things are going in this country, they're going to be shutting a few hospitals. There won't be a hospital around the corner. There'll be a waiting list that long, you can't get in. All right, they're trying to bring waiting lists down. Well, no. What you've got to remember, it brings an opportunity for the Church of God, the true Church of God, to rise up in signs, wonders and miracles. You go to Africa and people are being healed. Blind eyes are being opened. Deaf ears are being unstopped. Cripples that are, you know, shriveled up are being healed and are walking around and leaping and praising God for what's happening. And that's where God wants his church. He wants the church in England to be exactly like that. Because it's a church of power. It's a church that demonstrates what Christ did when he walked on this earth. It's not a place where we sing just a few songs and we do religious things. Not that there's anything wrong in that. But it's the fact when we've done all those things that somewhere amongst all of that, Jesus is seen. The power of God is seen. Otherwise, it's just words, words and words. We once were leading a small Bible study group in the Orthodox Church with somebody, and there'd just been some new believers got saved, and they gave them Bibles, and they're all different Bibles. I don't know where they got them from. I think they'd been round and scrounged a few. And we gave this older gentleman a Bible, and somebody was taking the service and said to them, right, we'll turn to the last book in the Bible, which is Revelation, as you all know. So this gentleman got his Bible and he turned to the last book, and this is where he got to. And he looked at it, and somebody mentioned the scripture where we were reading, and he sort of looked and flicked through, and he said, and we said, has everybody got Revelation? And this chap said, all I've got is words. And he'd got to the place of the concordance. And he'd never seen a Bible before, bless him. But this is the state that we're in. If we're not careful, we need to... You see, we are doing and practicing the new believers group for one reason. So that we help you to begin to understand the Word of God. We help you begin to find things in your Bible, begin to know the truths and the basics, so that you put a firm foundation down. Because when you've got that firm foundation put down, you can build. You can build something up that people will see. Nobody likes looking at foundations. Do they? Flat, you know. A lot of places go around and keep sweeping the foundations. I want to see something put on foundations. What do I want to see? I want to see a life. A life that is the expression of Christ. A life that can reach out, heal the sick. A life that can reach out, open blind eyes. A life that can reach out and save souls, lead them to Jesus. That's what the building needs to look like. And that's what Jesus wants. Jesus wants every one of us to be the expression of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, in my house are many mansions. In my Father's house there are many mansions. You know, so there's a big house. You know, this is just an analogy, but this is what in my Father's house there are many mansions. By, if God has got a house, and there are many mansions in it, how big's the house? Just don't stand thinking about it, does it? But guess what? I've just had a thought, and just throw this out to you. You and I are mansions. You and I are mansions. Because he's building you. He's building me. He's changing us. He's moulding us. He's shaping us. This is the life of Christ in earthen vessels. It says that we are in Christ and Christ is in us. And we are part of that household of God. And in that household of God there are many mansions. In you and I there are many, we are many rooms if you want. Our life is so compartmentalised at times by the world, but yet God wants to get into every area of our life, every part, every compartment of our life, every room in our life, God wants to be in it. And when he's in that, then we can begin to see him shaping us and moulding us. And that our life is a mansion of light, our life is a mansion of truth, our life is a mansion of healing, our life is a mansion of forgiveness, our life is a mansion where we minister to those who are bereaved, where we minister to those who are sad, where we minister to those who are broken. That is what our lives can do. And so, I don't know. It's just something that's come to me that, you know, Joan's looking it up, see, what does... Oh, she's put her finger on you, Joan, you see. All right, thank you. I'll just carry on. Praise God. So our lives are to continue to be being an expression of Jesus Christ as we move forward. We need to be the Church of Jesus Christ. And when a stranger comes along, somebody who we've not met before, that's what it means when it's a stranger. Not that the strange, weird, you know. But when a stranger comes along, somebody who we've not met, somebody who we don't really know, we've just been introduced to them, but they're still stranger to us because we're still getting to know them, aren't we? You know, a friend is someone who you know, you've spent time with, who you've got to know more about them. You've shared coffee and things and meals together and you begin to know them in that way. But a stranger is somebody you've just been introduced to. This is a stranger. And then you begin to get to know the stranger. And so what the church needs to be, a place that when a stranger comes in, they begin to feel comfortable. And they feel the expression of the love of God. And they feel the expression of Christ. And they feel that they're not, what's the word I'm looking for? Not feeling ostracized, not feeling out of place, not feeling rejected, but feeling that I'm comfortable here, I don't have a problem. I hope that's like that tonight. If you didn't, you better tell me. And so we move on as a church like that, that we encourage each other. For the word says that for where two or three are gathered together, there Jesus is in the midst of us. So right now, tonight, there's more than two or three of us. Jesus is gathered together with us. His Spirit is with us. His Word is with us. His life is with us. And so we can receive all the blessings and the weight of the Word of God into our life, and that we can begin to flow in His anointing. Now, each and every one of us, God wants you to flow in that anointing. And as you flow in God's anointing, you will sense the move of His Spirit. And as we sense the move of His Spirit, we'll see what God is. God will direct us what to do. He will show us what to do. He will give us words to say. Sunday I was, not this last Sunday, but the Sunday before, during a time of worship, God was beginning to give me a new song. And we just began to break into it for a little while. And I thought, right, I'll write those down. Just those few words, I'll write them down, I'll take them home. Remember what key I was in. And I'll take it home and I'll just get before God and work on it. Well, I had one of those weeks. And so on Sunday I got my guitar out, Sunday before we came to church. I thought, yeah, I'll just have another look at that. And just see where we go with this. Started to sort of just sing these few words that we had. And all of a sudden, after I've been doing that for a few minutes, I got something totally different. And so on Sunday I brought a new chorus, which we sang. And I got that in just 20 minutes. Most of that time I spent writing it out and putting the chords in and what have you. But And it was just the fact that suddenly I begin to realise that it's as you seek God and begin to press in. I mean, I'm not a songwriter. I've never written a song in my life. Don't write music. I read it. Don't write it. Follow it. Don't write it. And suddenly God sort of began to give this song, and I thought, wow. And I begin to realise that the more that we seek Him, the more we reach to Him, the more that we become like Him, we sing the songs of the Lord. The Word tells us that the angels are continually singing the song of the Lord. What is the song of the Lord? What is the song of the Lord? I'll tell you. It's anything that exalts Jesus. Anything that exalts Jesus is the song of the Lord. Because the God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So the moment that you start singing about Jesus and exalting Jesus and magnifying Jesus, that's the song that Father God has given to us. That's come via His Holy Spirit. That's what God wants you and I to realise and to do. So God moves in our lives in power. And as He does that, we know the presence of Him moving amongst us. And we see His glory. We're just beginning to touch something in the future that's special. And it's not for leadership. It's for the church. I ought to rephrase that, didn't I? It's not just for leadership. A lot of churches would try and hog it as it's the leadership. It's not just for the leadership. It's for the whole body. Because the whole body is fitly framed together. And the whole body receives and manifests the glory of Jesus and is the expression of Jesus. And that's where He wants us to be. We have to act like Jesus would act. We are today a reflection of the Lord Jesus. We have to be seen to be doing what He does. We have to be seen to be the manifest glory of God. We have to deliver that forgiveness. We have to deliver that power, that anointing. You see, to minister healing to somebody, you have to have a compassion. Isn't that right, Graham? If you want to minister healing to somebody, you've got to have some form of compassion. You can't just go up and say, "Oh, pray for them. Be healed. No, it's about the compassion. When Jesus saw the people, it said He had compassion for them. And in the same way, we have to have compassion for these people. And so we can reach out. And so God expects you and I to begin to move into those realms. You see, He wants you to flow in His anointing. He wants you to flow in His Spirit. And so to flow in His Spirit, you flow with His compassion. You flow with His desire and His motivation to bless others and to encourage others and to strengthen others. And so that's what He wants us to do. So what we need to realise is that when we start to flow like that, when we start to be like that, our decisions are the decisions of the Lord Jesus. Our compassion is the same compassion as the Lord Jesus. And so the verdict that we pass over somebody is the same verdict that God would pass over them. And you see, today, we live in the day of God's forgiveness and God's mercy. Oh, there will come a day when there's a day of judgment. But today, that is not that day. Today is that day of mercy. Today is that day of forgiveness. Today is that compassion from God that sets us free. You see, each and every one of us could be called out any time through things that we've done wrong. It's so easy to make a mistake. It's so easy to do the wrong thing. Every day we're confronted by something that challenges us, that stands in our face, that would seek to cause us to do wrong, to think wrong things, to act wrongly. Every day we're challenged. If my thing was money, if that was the thing that held my focus, this last month I could have had £1,000 that didn't belong to me, that people had sent me, and didn't know they'd sent me the wrong amounts. I had somebody send me 400 odd pound to pay a bill that was already paid. Now, you know, some folk would have said, thank you very much. We'll put that in the coffers and we'll keep it. But no. For me, it was like, I rang them up and said, no. Well, are you sure I've paid you? Yeah. Oh, we're sure. We have a system that keeps track of everything. Well, I'll have. I said, it's paid. But what a temptation. You know, everybody's struggling financially in this recession. Business is low. £1,000 free. It's great, isn't it? You know, useful. But no, that's not the way to do it. God looks after me. God is my provider. And God has got things lined up for me. And all what he wants of me to do is to act honourably. That's could be a challenge, you see, some people. Because some people, money's their focus. And that can be a destroyer. And so the church has to move forward. Now if we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles and gifts of healings, helps, administrations, and various kinds of tongues. And verse 29 goes on to say, all are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have the gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greatest gifts, and I will show you still a more excellent way. It's not about what position you hold in the church. It's what about the position that you hold in with God. It's not about that you're an apostle. It's not about that you have the mantle of the prophet. It's not about that you have the mantle of a teacher and that you're able and apt to teach. It's not about the fact that you can lay hands on the sick and they're healed. It's not about that. It's about the fact of who you are in the presence of God. When everything is stripped away, I think there's a song or a chorus that we sung. When everything is stripped away, our toys, the possessions that we hold, everything that we've ever done, and we stand before God, just as me, just as you, that's all you stand before God as. It's not about how many people you prayed for, is it, Graham? It's not about how many people you led to Jesus last month. It's nothing to do with that. These are all just the add-ons. It is about me and my walk with Jesus. It is about you and your walk with Jesus. Because if that's right, if that walk is right, everything else begins to unfold in the right way. And so it's about staying close to him. It's about moving and acting like Jesus. Because as the church stays close to God, and this is what's happened unfortunately with the church has drifted away from God, they've gone into programs. They've gone into a works program. They've gone into some type of system that they know what they're doing next. Everything has to be organized and set to a time scale. Well, God's not interested in time. I know we are. You know, Lynn's all ready to dash off home and hit the sack. You know, she's got everything set in place so that literally she can get straight through the door. She's probably even got the covers turned down so that she don't even have to turn the covers down. She just slips into bed and just pulls the cover over and that's it, you see. The least amount of effort for the most effective way of doing things, you see. And in that sense, We do these things and we set programs, but we like to be, have things organised. And we do to some degree. But at the same time, we must not organise God out of his church. We must not organise God out of our lifestyle. People do. You know, parents get going with their children and they, you know, they take the daughter to dancing school, they take the lad to scouts and so it goes on and they've got to go to drama class and then we've got to take them to band practice and then we've got to take them to cricket, then we've got to take them to football and so it goes on and on and on and on until in the end, oh, we don't have time to come to church. Well, I'm sorry, you've got all your priorities wrong. All your priorities are wrong. Because when you start to do that and you move God out to one side and God begins to be the add-on. If we've got time, we'll go to church. If we've got time, we'll read the Bible. If we've got time, we'll pray. But if not, that's the last thing we're going to think about. We'll do it when we get home tonight. Too tired. Too tired. Straight to bed. Could be too late, yeah? Whatever. Too tired, too late. And it is too late. But we need to put God first. We need to exalt him to his rightful place, because in doing that we become the expression. We become that expression of Jesus. And so it's about putting him first. And as we put him first, then everything else will be added to us. I'm convinced about that, because I've sought to do it in my life. Oh no, I haven't got it right. There are still so many pressures for things at times, and other things at times get in the way. But I've begun to realise even more and more the importance of putting him first and seeking his face. Yeah, that's a good saying, too busy not to pray. And sometimes, well, God wakes me early in the early hours these days, and I lay in bed and start seeing people in where they sat in the church and start to pray for them. It's good, you see, when people get into a habit and they sit in the same place. I can see, you know, when I preach from the front of the church, I know where they are, so I can go down each row, pray for them. So if you all start moving around, I'll be confused. And I've got to remember every name then, you see. But no, I've got this picture where you all are, basically, and I can pray. And I pray for you. And I pray for those that have gone and missed and are missing. Because they've put other things first in their lives. And they put Jesus last. I just hope for their sake, Jesus don't put them last. Because that's what can happen. There's that phrase and saying where there's some people came to him and said, Lord, we've cast out demons in your name. We've healed the sick in your name. We've done all these things in your name. He said, get away from me. I don't know you. I never knew you. Interesting, we'll talk about that other one sometime. But that goes deeper. But just even that phrase, that saying, being pushed to one side, it's a challenge. We need to long to come into his presence. We need to realise that it's not about what we do, but it's about what we offer to him. And what we've got is our lives and our worship and our adoration. We bow before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we worship him with all that we have and all that we are. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost and to know and to feel the moving of the Holy Ghost in our lives. And so that when the Spirit of God touches us, we know it. And we can let that anointing that comes from God flow through us and touch other people's lives. That's what we do when we minister healing to someone. Underground. We sense that moving of the Spirit of God and we pray and there's a release of healing power. We saw it on Sunday. A release of the power of God. And people just being overcome by the that wonderful anointing of the Holy Ghost in their lives. And the power of God doing a work in them. That is a work that changes, that heals, that sets captives free, that brings a deliverance to them. And all it's doing is bringing glory to Jesus. And as we seek the face of Jesus, we seek the face of God, that's the expectancy. See, today's church has to be a church of signs, wonders and miracles. Your life has to be a sign. It's often a wonder. Has to be a miracle. But it is. And we know for a fact that some of you, if you weren't here, you'd be dead. That's an awesome thought. If you hadn't met Jesus along the way, you wouldn't be alive today. Some of us, if we hadn't met Jesus along the way, could have been in prison. Could have been on drugs, on alcohol. We see them every Friday night. People whose lives are wrecked. Through some tragedy that has come into their life, and they've not had the strength to cope with it. And guess what? Without God in your life, you don't have the strength to cope with the pressures of life today. You know, I can look at people and say, there by the grace of God go I. I thank God that Jesus got hold of me as a teenager. Oh, there were struggles. There was stumblings, there was fallings. But guess what? In the end, He never let go of me. And He always came looking for me when there was a struggle going on. And He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And through the years, one of my favourite scriptures that God ever gave to me was in Joshua. Be strong and of good courage. Joshua chapter 1. Probably comes even more stronger even to me today as I read it again. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. God intends that for you and I to have success wherever we go. They might say, well, that was written to Joshua all that time. Joshua was no different to any of us. Joshua was simply following God. Joshua was simply being obedient to the word of God that he knew, and to his relationship that he had with God. And God said to him, if you be strong and courageous, you shall give this people possession of the land. Well, praise God, God's given me a call to give you possession of the land. But I've got to be strong and I've got to be courageous. And there'll be challenges that come our way. Week after week, month after month, year after year, there will be a challenge. Who is greater, the challenge or God? God is. Because we are the expression of the Church of Jesus Christ. We are the expression of the Kingdom of God. And so God wants you and I to flow in that anointing. So that as we are strong and courageous, we will see lives being changed. You see, if you're strong and courageous, people are going to look at you and say, how is it you've gone through this tough time? You've gone through this difficult situation. You know, some people would have committed suicide. Some people would have just gone over the top. How is it that you've managed to stay strong? How is it you've coped with circumstances and situations when it's been so difficult? And you say, because I've got Jesus in my life. I've got the Word of God. It gives me peace. It gives me comfort. It gives me strength. It gives me courage. And it gives me a victory. Time after time after time. Again and again and again, the word brings us to victory. The Church of God, the Church of Jesus Christ, has a place of spiritual authority. Yes. We have a place of spiritual authority. And the church has got to take the right course and make the right decisions. And as we do that, we'll lead people into the fullness of Jesus Christ. And as we do that, we'll take the limits off our lives and off the lives of others. Because you see, we're capped. We cap things by the fact of our disobedience. We cap things and we stop God moving. We stop that well of the Holy Spirit welling up within us because somebody's put a capstone on it. And it's not gushing out, it's just a trickle. God wants the capstone to be removed. He wants the capstone to be removed. A minister that we knew used to preach on a scripture from Matthew about the some tribe or some sort that had blocked up the wells. It was back in the Old Testament where this tribe kept blocking up the wells. Andrew Sherman used to preach on it. God wants you to unblock the flow of the well. Don't let things hinder the moving of the Spirit of God in your life. Don't limit God by your mind. You see, we're taught and we're brought up to measure things by our intellect at times, by our understanding. I don't understand it, so therefore it can't be right. It can't work. It can't happen. Guess what? Every day you and I use things that we don't understand, and as far as we're concerned, couldn't work, but it does. So why can't you do it with God? Why can't you do it with God? Why can't you do it with God's word? Because he never lies. God is not a man that he should lie, but he moves through the realm of the Spirit of his, and his word, and he changes circumstances. There's a young boy comes, is brought out in a coffin before Jesus, and his mother's all upset. And what happens? Turn him off, please. And what happens? Suddenly they find that he goes up to the coffin and he lays hand on the coffin, and the boy is raised to life. Conquering death.
Yeah.
Conquering death. Every time. And guess what? Satan wants to work death in every one of our lives. Don't matter how he tries to do it, he will find a way to bring death into your life. And what is death? I don't mean death by the grave. I mean death spiritually. Death spiritually. Stop you doing something. Stop you moving on in God. It's death. Stop you winning that next victory. Stop you moving into that new dimension that God has for you. It's death. If you're not growing, you're dying. If you're not growing, you're dying. We've got a plant in our house. Looks like it stopped growing. Leaves are beginning to fall off. Guess what? I think it's dying. So there are so many easy telltale signs to know whether you're dying. You see them before anybody else. But if we live in, allow the Word of God, and we live in the Word of God will stop us from dying. It will continue to renew our youth like the eagles. It will continue to bring us to another level. We've not got to let earthly situations and circumstances control us. You see, for me, at times, one of my biggest problems is I can let, if I'm not careful, I can let people and circumstances control me. That's probably one of my biggest weaknesses. So that's my challenge. You see, as a child, I was shy, quiet, probably insecure. But when Jesus found me, he started a process on me. But you see, what happens is, if we start to lose any grip of Jesus, the devil starts to take hold of us and to drag us back to our shy, insecure situation. And we withdraw. But God set me free from that. You see, God opened the cage door and let me out. But you see, what the devil wants to do is keep the cage door open and hope that I'm going to fly back in. And then he's going to shut that door on me. There was a A man told a story once of this dog he had, and he kept it on this chain. And when he first got the dog, he had the dog on the chain, and he would go down the garden to greet the dog on an evening, and the dog would come bounding towards him, and then all of a sudden would just yank itself on the chain, he'd forgot, the dog had forgotten there was a distance that he was allowed to run to. And over a period of time, the dog began to remember, if I run too far, and so the dog would actually run towards him and then stop before it got to the end of the chain. Well, one day the man went down the garden, went to the dog and greeted it and fussed it, and then quietly and unbeknown to the dog, he slipped the chain off the dog's neck. He went away from the dog and he called the dog towards him. And he went outside the circle, the distance of the chain, and he called the dog towards him. And the dog set off running, headed towards him, and stopped where the chain always stopped the dog. The chain was no longer on the dog, but the dog did not know he'd got his freedom. Because he'd got into a habit, he'd got into this mindset that that was his frontier and that was no further. And the devil wants to get you into that situation that he's had a chain on you for all these years. Jesus has come along and he slipped it off. He's opened a cage door. You're no longer a caged bird. You're no longer a trapped animal on a leash. God has set you free. Get out of the circle. Amen. Get out of that area that he's holding you back in. But make sure you're going with Jesus all the way. Amen. Because I'll tell you what, if you get out of the circle and you get into the wrong hands and the wrong people, somebody else will put a chain on you. Somebody else will put a cage on you. But Jesus won't. Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That is the expression of Jesus Christ. That should be the expression of the church. It's not about legalisms. It's not about bondages. But it's about freedom. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. That's what Jesus has brought us to. But we're to flow in that spirit. And we're to be as one body, moving forward in the anointing and the power of God. That's where Jesus leads us to. That leads me to my final scripture for tonight, Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. We'll do verse 5 just to give you a picture. So the angel who was speaking with me answered and said to me, Zechariah is being spoken to by a heavenly body, a being, an angel. Do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. And then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And I'm telling you, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's not by government and authorities, it's not by about how much money the bank holds on us, how much grip they have over us, it's not how much they tax us, but it is by my spirit, says the Lord. God is beyond and far bigger than all that is going off in this world today. All these guys think they've got it all organised. All these guys think they've got it all worked out. They're lining their own pockets. They're setting themselves up for the biggest fall that they've ever seen. Because it's by the Spirit of God. They're seeking to just destroy the things of God. They're seeking to push down the Bible and the power of the Word of God. And the church is in cahoots with them at times. Well, I'm telling you, church, it's time to stand up and stand by the Spirit of God and to move forward and be the expression of Jesus Christ. They don't control you. You know, in Exodus, Moses, for 40 years, fed over 3 million people. God was providing for them every day. No Sainsbury's, Tesco's or Morrison's. There was no shortage of food and God kept them. And there was no shortage of water neither. And so just thank God. And so there's no shortage of the Spirit of God. If you will get into the Word of God, let the Word of God begin to operate in your life, you'll see that your provisions, all your needs shall be met. Everything shall be met. Because it's not by might. It's not by power. But it is by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's not that we are a building. We are the church that walks in the Spirit. That's what we need to be. We don't need to come together just to have a meeting. We need to come together to walk in the Spirit of God. We need to come together to hear the voice of God. We need to come together so we, as we move and flow in the Spirit of God, we'll see signs, wonders and miracles, and we'll see the needs of people being met. We'll see comforting people. We'll see strengthening to people. We'll see healing to people. We'll see encouragement, just moving people forward into a new level and a new dimension. That's what God has for us. The sick shall be healed, Graham, won't they? The dead shall be raised. Because why? Because this book, the Word of God, says so, and it's a living and active Word. By my Spirit, saith the Lord. Amen.